Oh, my name's Paul.
Who's calling?
Hi, Paul. It's Aaron calling you from INS Law, sir, just in regards to your inquiry to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Paul. Is now a convenient time to talk?
Yeah, in the car driving down south, so it's all fine.
All right, okay, fair enough, Paul. As I said, it's just in regards to your inquiry to the redress scheme. To go through that, I'm just going to go through your inquiry with you and the details that we have so far. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Perfect, okay, Paul. So just for data protection, we're gathering these details. I've got your first name here as Paul, and your surname here is McCleary, is that correct?
It is, yeah.
Okay, Paul. And is there any middle names at all?
Aronson. But I think in relation to the care system, my name was Alexander at the time.
Okay, not a problem. So in care, it was Alexander?
Yeah, Paul okay. Alexander.
Okay, not a problem. And I've got your email address here as paul@820scotland.com.
That's the one.
Perfect, okay. And your date of birth, please, Paul?
Say again?
Can I have your date of birth, please?
6/10/72.
Perfect, okay. And what's your home address, please, Paul?
What I'm moving to, I'm delayed. At the moment, it's 37 Globe Park, for Oxford.
Seven, was that Low Park?
3737.
Yep.
Globe, G-L-O-B-E, Park.
You said that was in Broxburn.
Broxburn, yeah. B-R-O-X-B-U-R-N.
Yep, okay, perfect. Just bear with me. Perfect, sir. Okay. And do you know the address that you lived in prior to being placed in care?
To New Hollygate, yeah, Broxburn.
To New Hollygate, yep, got that one there, that's perfect. Okay, perfect, sir. And what's the name of the GP surgery that you're currently registered at, please?
It's a lot of information to be gathering right now. Quite intrigued by why you're asking it all.
Okay, sir. So I'm just gathering all this information. So basically, when we go to obtain the records on your behalf, we have all this information already, and it already gets populated into your part one and part two of your application.
Okay, Surely not interested in what actually happened first.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to them details. I'm just gathering the generic details of your first.
Yeah.
Is that okay with yourself?
I just can appreciate somebody phone up on the phone, then you get all this information. Kind of, I know you say from the insurance company or the lawyers, but.
Yeah, I do understand it, sir. Obviously, as I said, I'm just gathering the generic details from yourself, getting the information needed, and then obviously I talk to you about the redress scheme and you know the options that are applicable to yourself, and then go through your time and care and get a bit of a brief statement on your behalf, and then once all that's filled out, I can then send these documents out to yourself then.
Okay. And who holds all the information?
What was that, sorry?
Who holds all this information for protection?
We do, sir. It doesn't get disclosed or get sold on to any third-party companies. We comply with GDPR.
Okay. Now, is it different between Scottish or the English care system?
What was that, sorry?
Is there different laws governing both? English and Scottish care system.
Sorry, sir, are you asking, is there different governing laws?
Yes.
From my knowledge, sir, no. That's obviously from my experience working with law. We hold the general protection, and as I said, don't disclose any of your information to any third parties or sell on any information to any outside parties that are irrelevant to this scheme. We have regulations that we need to abide by, and therefore your information is withheld within ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. Are you okay to proceed, sir?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, Paul. Thank you very much. Okay. Am I able to grab the name of the GP that you're registered at, please?
Strathbrock Centre. Strath, S-T-R-A-T-H, Brock, B-R-O-C-H. And I don't know what doctor it is because they change all the time.
Okay, not a problem. Just so I've got that spelling correctly, sir, is it Strathford and then Brock?
It's Strathbrock, so Sierra Tango Romeo Alpha Tango Hotel Brock, Strath.
Okay, just bear with me. And is that in Brockburn as well, is it, sir? Hello, Paul, are you there, sorry?
Yeah, it's because I'm driving to that line.
Yeah, sorry, I do apologise. Is that in Brockburn as well, is it?
It is, yes.
Okay. Let me just making sure I've got the correct doctors here. The only doctors come up with that name, sir, is Roxburn Strathbrock Partnership Centre. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that.
I don't very much go, so I should remember the name.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, and as some local authorities and institutions do request, sir, are we able to grab the name of your mother and father, if known, please?
That's a bit much information for you gathering right now.
Okay, sir.
I don't see why that's relevant, to be honest.
Okay, so this information is relevant because when we do go to obtain your care records, because you're in care under the age of 18 at the time, some records are archived under the name of your mother and father. So from previous experience, when we've gone to gain subject access requests, this is the information that has been needed to be additionally provided in order for local authorities or institutions to obtain the records.
Yeah. And all the information you gather from the care system, will I get a copy of all that?
Yeah, you can have a copy of your care set records, of course. They are your records. Obviously, we're just the law firm to represent you for this, so we can gather that information. But obviously, of course, they are yours, so we can more than necessary send them out to yourself.
And my father at the time was Robert McCleary.
Okay, perfect. Robert McCleary. Larry. And the name of your mother, please?
She was Heather Alexander.
Okay, and you said that you was known as Paul Alexander McCleary in care. Okay, so has your name been changed legally by deed, poll, or marriage at all?
My name is McCleary, born McCleary. My mother changed Alexander when she left her father. It's now changed by people. She only just changed to go to school.
Yeah. Okay.
When I joined the Air Force, I went back to McCleary.
Yeah. Okay. I understand, sir. Thank you. Okay. And then in terms of contacting yourself, Paul, are we okay to send you emails and texts as well as give you a call?
Emails is easier. Texts, I probably don't get much. I've traveled quite a bit.
Yep. Okay. No worries. That's not a problem. Okay, and is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of at all?
No, not aware of, just normal age.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Because you always expect that terminal.
Yeah, it's never, it's always catching up to you, isn't it?
That's it, terminal illness is age.
Actually agree, yeah, I've got a point. Okay, Paul, and would you like to add a beneficiary to the application at all?
In regards to when I get anything I've done beforehand or what?
So in terms of obviously receiving an award for you know the wrongdoing potentially done to you during your time in care, if anything was to happen to you within this application process, would you like to nominate anybody for them awards to go to?
Yeah, my partner Tatiana.
Did you say that was Christiana?
Tatiana,
Tatiana.
Tatiana. It's easy to write down, it's fair.
Of course, yeah. So I've got Tetian.
A. There might be a double N at the end, I'm not so sure, I can't remember. Tatiana. It's Ukrainian name.
Ah, okay, fair enough, sir. And do you know Tatiana's surname at all?
Yeah. Lukyanenko.
Lukianenko. Perfect. And what's Tatiana's date of birth, please? Just so we can verify, obviously, that this year's over the age of 18.
02/09/1985.
Okay. And do you know Tatiana's mobile number at all?
I know by asking Siri.
Sorry, sir. That's probably one of the best responses I've ever had. it's so today's generation.
It's true, though, that you ask Alexa, you ask Siri, what it calls such and such.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But I like the honesty. I really do. Okay, Paul. So what I'm going to do for yourself is I'm going to explain, obviously, how the process works. But obviously, first and foremost, I do appreciate that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. So please, at any point during this call, if you need a break, further explanation, support, or would prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So purpose of today's call is I'm going to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf and discuss our funding and fees. And then I'll gather the initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you. Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 5th of December 2004. So it is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. But you are entitled to three applicable options, which is option one. You can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two, you can instruct the solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us being option three, you will be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. At this stage, Paul, can I just clarify, do you have any other representation when it comes to your application to the redress scheme?
None yet.
No, okay, fair enough. Thank you. Okay, so our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means for yourself, Paul, is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%. Okay, it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you. Okay, but if instructed, we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the redress scheme. We'll gather and review the evidence and prepare and submit the application on your behalf. We have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll always advise you of any offers made throughout the process. We'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered, and offer any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. What that statutory waiver is for yourself, Paul, is that if a redress offer is made, we will always fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future claims relating to the matters dealt with within the redress scheme. Okay, so you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. Okay, is that all is that all understandable with yourself so far, Paul?
It is.
Perfect. Okay. So as standard, Paul, you do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately, whilst the cancellation rights still remain. If that was the case, Paul, and you were to choose ourselves to represent you, once our documents are signed, would you like us to start work immediately on, for yourself?
Yeah, I'm just intrigued how far this, what actually happens, will go. So,
what was that, sorry?
I'm intrigued to see how this is going. I mean, a lot of companies now are suing everybody for everything, so...
Yeah, of course, I understand that. What I really, you know, say to you know, the clients that I've been dealing with and currently at the minute, I've got a caseload of over 300, and that's just single-handedly with myself, ever mind my other colleagues. Basically, you know, we're kind of, you know, out here, you know, dealing with the scheme, but we're on your side. You know, we're here to help you and listen to your story and get your story heard from, obviously, the, you know, wrongdoing that you've, you know, unfortunately experienced during your time in care. So I understand that, you know, that little bit of curiosity around, you know, ourselves. You're not the only one. I've had, you know, a few phone calls where, you know, people have potentially thought we were scammers at first. But not until, obviously, you know, they've gained our trust and been able to, you know, listen to, you know, what we're here to help with. Then, of course, obviously, as always, the ball is in your court, Paul. But, you know, we're here to help you and listen to you and your story and get ahead. Okay.
Who helps it? This is a personal, but who helps someone under the PTSD role? I mean, obviously, it's a financial payment, but surely... There's a lot more harassed people than I am that was in care. But their stories, if they're bad enough, surely someone has to look after them. Are they going to relive all this? Do you guys have a duty of care to advise counsellors?
Yeah, of course. We do, Paul. So part of our, you know, policy is as you just said, then, you know, that duty of care, the safeguarding of our clients. Yeah, with the clients that are less fortunate with, you know, dealing with their mental health and don't really have that help around, we can only signpost to, you know, the local charities and mental health support services out there, like Samaritans. Mm-hmm. There's a crisis team and obviously the A&Es, as you'll be aware of. There's also a quick text of, I think it's called Shout. You just text a number and I think someone gives you a call straight away. We basically have an email that we send, as you know, in terms of, you know, if you're feeling vulnerable or you need to talk, anything like that. These are the numbers that we have listed in order to, you know, get your feelings out and talk, because we do understand that it is a sensitive subject to be talking about and kind of reliving, if that makes sense.
Oh no, again, I've been speaking to people from care and ex-forces. I speak to people from ex-forces as well.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm obviously my story is my story, fair enough. I don't think it's as dramatic as, well, not dramatic, the wrong word, but bad or drastic as others. But I've got friends who have been abused in care. And when we try to talk about it, they don't want to talk about it because they've kind of put to one side.
Yeah.
But this Scottish redress is obviously going to open up all wounds for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course. As we say in the office here, it's like opening Pandora's box again, really, isn't it?
Yes. Especially some of them.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, mine isn't as... I'm curious by it, by what they did. The staff should never done what they've done. It wasn't a physical abuse. It was a kind of psychological weirdness of it all.
Yeah.
But you're in a care home with 18 children, teenagers, with a variety of different levels of why they were there. It's kind of interesting. But,
yeah.
So what's the next stage, Jim?
Okay, Paul, yeah. So basically, so we can formally act for you if obviously you were to choose ourselves. We would require a proof of identity for verification purposes and also anti-money laundering regulations. So therefore, we will need a copy of photo ID and proof of address that would be dated within the last 3 months. You could get that over to ourselves via WhatsApp or email, whatever is most convenient for you. And that can obviously be sent back with our forms, obviously, if and when you do choose to go with ourselves. But what I can do for you now, Paul, is I can just obviously go through that time and care with you and see where you was placed, and then get a little bit of a brief statement from either one care setting or each care setting, and you know, be able to assess the experience that you've had. Start whenever you're ready, Paul. What was the name of your first care setting that you was placed at?
It'll be Uphall Care Home or Children's Home.
You say Uphall?
UPHALL. 1986.
And was that a children's home, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The definition of home care has changed over the years. We call them young people's assessment centres now or whatever, but I found it a children's home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of names behind it. There's residential schools, assessment centres, farms. There's obviously, as you may have known, there's Rossi Farm.
Yeah, there's quite a few up in Scotland. I mean, you got the prison as well.
Yeah.
Our children's prison, which is in Edinburgh.
Yeah, all the young offenders. What else is there? There's houses.
St. Joe's, East Lothian. Houses.
Yeah. Oakbank House is another one.
Yeah.
So we've got Uphall Children's Home here. That was in Livingston, West Lothian.
It's in Broxbourne. It's actually Broxbourne. Uphall's on its own. Livingston's a town outside of Uphall. So it's not classed in Livingston.
Ah, right, okay.
So Livingston's actually a town itself.
Yeah.
Uphall is a town, it's a village, stroke town, and Broxbourne. So Broxbourne and Uphall joined together. Livingston's about 5 miles away.
Right, okay. So would you not say that was the... Is that the West Lothian Council area?
It is West Lothian Council, yes, but not Livingston.
Yeah. Okay, no worries. Thank you for that clarification. So I briefly heard you mention that you was there in 1986. How long was you there for?
February, March 86 to about August, well, actually 40 years, be 40 years ago now.
Ah, wow, okay.
It'd be exactly 40 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, and was it just Uphall that you was in, or was there another care setting?
I went from Uphall Kids Home to foster parents up until I joined the Air Force.
Okay. And did you suffer any abuse with your foster parents? Whether that even be...
Not my foster parents, no. I mean, foster parents were actually... They're brilliant. I kind of got lucky with them. I think the care system let them down, not the actual parents themselves.
So what was that, Johnny Paul?
I think the care system at the time let my foster parents down. They were fine, but the system itself So they had to let me go at 16. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That seems to be the common occurrence, especially even before 2000. Is, you know, it's the system that's been so abruptly corrupted. It's there was never a system. It feels like it was every man for themselves.
Yeah, kind of in a way. I mean, the social worker myself was great. Bob Lawson, the hat. The weird thing, I remember all the names, but Bob was fine. But my foster parents themselves, no, nothing wrong with them at all. You know, they fought for my corner. So they tried to fight every corner, every system they could find. It's different nowadays.
Yeah, no, it is. And yeah, obviously, you know, there's no scheme that's out there at the minute for any ongoing child abuse, obviously past or the other side of 2004. Obviously, at the minute, the only scheme that's obviously out here is the Scottish Redress scheme, and obviously they focus on before 2004. But yeah, I do hope and pray it's not the same as what it once was. I hope it's a much better system and structure now. Especially for
the problem back then, there's no aftercare is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
The care system. So going through care, a child doesn't really know any different unless they're physically or sexually abused. They don't know what emotional abuse is. Some of the staff members who joined that care system, then themselves, including foster parents, were pretty bad. A lot of kids I remember speaking with, yeah, they had it bad. I was lucky. I would say I was lucky in foster care, but in the care home, yeah, the abuse was weird. There was no physical abuse, what I remember, but yeah, a lot of getting the children out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to shout at them because someone stole a watch. And the thought process was basically, you're too tired to lie, so wake up at 2 a.m, stand up downstairs in the dining room in your underwear or your pajamas, and then demand you tell them who stole the watch. And that's the abuse I'm talking about. That's what I'm redressing. That. So yeah, I'm quite astute. I think my character got me through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But that happened to every single child in that home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Obviously, I know you just briefly touched on it, Paul, but talk to me about UPHOL as a whole. What was the experience like there, like from, you know, when you first got there?
It's weird. I was put in there as a child who never got into trouble. I was put in care because my parents, at the time, couldn't accommodate me. My stepmother, I don't know how she got hold of it, put me into care. So I was basically put in a care system. There's no idea what actually meant, is the truth. So you're in this kid's home, you then go to a different school. But I'm ex-forces, and my father's ex-forces, so I'm used to travelling all the time in different schools.
Yeah.
But in the care home itself, you went into a bedroom. Sometimes you would share it, sometimes you wouldn't share it. You didn't know who the child was or who it was. But the staff were generally okay, majority of them. The senior staff, Bill, Willie, and Bill, again, two Bills, were generally men, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Night staff were pretty good, day staff were who they were. But the only time I actually felt like the abuse part was getting up there at 2 a.m. to shout at me to tell them who stole the watch. But what they did cleverly was tell us that we're the ones that stole the watch because somebody reported our name.
Oh, okay.
So I was 12 years old, so you can imagine how interesting that was.
Yeah. And when you say you got out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, was that with force or was you instructed to do so?
Instructed, but you've got to remember, you're 12 years old, you've got a fear of staff in a way.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, adults were adults, whereas nowadays children are told adults can't shout at you.
Yeah, exactly, so back then,
you know, you remember getting in trouble with a teacher, you know, scared to go back home, because teacher might tell mother or go to father or whatever. Whereas nowadays, don't give two shits. So no, I wasn't physically dragged out of bed, but you're told, get downstairs now at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're kind of tired. You're sleeping. You're woken up mid-sleep. What do you do?
Yeah,
I remember vividly standing there in my shorts being shouted at because someone stole, and it's true. So Mabel was the grandmother of the home. So Mabel was like an old lady. Everybody loved her. And she washed her dishes, took a watch off, put it on the kitchen top, and then it disappeared. So obviously people try to find who stole the watch. But as a rule of thumb when you're in care, you don't report, you don't grass, you don't tell on someone.
Yeah, of course.
If that makes sense. So the only way they wanted to get Mabel's watch back was getting everybody out of bed.
Yeah.
So when I saw this redress thing come up, I thought, well, actually, that is pretty shit. If that was to happen nowadays, fuck, what would happen?
And did you say that it was yourself, it was your name that got mentioned in being part of being, you know, took in this watch
so
gone missing?
I think what they did was they told every child the same. I think what they tried to do was say, hey, Paul, we know it was you because we were told by someone else, hoping that child would then go, it wasn't me, it was such and such.
Yeah.
To find out who stole the watch. So the psychological part of that on a 12-year-old child was, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that's pretty bad. You shouldn't do that shit. Especially 2 o'clock in the morning when the child's been sleeping. That is torture in regard.
Yeah,
when you start overthinking it, you think, shit, those adults should never have done that.
Yeah, but okay.
Sleep deprivation, all that bullshit. You've taught that in the forces to be as torturous behaviour. So I'd like to think that if anything came from this, then other children who were involved, anything happened that was worse to them, they could find solace in it all. Who knows?
Yeah. I do apologise about the quietness my end, Paul. I'm just writing a little bit of a brief statement of your experience in order to populate this into the application that gets sent to you, so you'll be able to see what I've wrote on your behalf.
The reason I asked the question in regards to the data that you collect from them, I'd be interested if that's actually in the report, if it's actually in their information.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, so... I'll admit to you, it's about 50-50. Some of it obviously does get populated into the application forms. Some of it doesn't need to get disclosed to the redress scheme straight away in order to acknowledge an application number on your behalf. But some of the information is retained for when we do go to then request for subject access requests. This is then the information that we already have on system that we're able to provide at a later date, if that does make sense.
But I'd be interested if you can get the records, that is something I would be interested in getting.
Yeah, no, of course.
I'd be interested in getting the full records, so from what I was put in to all the other stuff.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. Well, as I said to you, and we've done it many times before, obviously they are your records, so, you know, we're more than happy to share them records with you, you know, just for you to have a copy and obtain them yourself.
So my father died, unfortunately, when I was in care. You know, that wasn't their fault. They don't do that, but...
Yeah, no, I am sorry to hear that, Paul.
I mean, it's 40 years ago. I've kind of got over it, but you do bring back memories when you think about it. Even talking to you about the getting up at 2 in the morning and then rethinking that. Shit, they should never have done that.
Yeah, of course.
You can imagine the news getting hold of that today.
Yeah. I know, it wouldn't go down well at all. Okay, so what I've done is I've wrote up a little bit of a brief statement for you. Obviously, what I've written up, this will get expanded on at a later date when we do come to do a witness statement, which is all booked in by one of my colleagues months and months down in the process, because this process does take around 10 plus months at the minute. The Scottish Redress do have a backlog of cases which they're currently recruiting for further panel members in order to reduce that backlog. So this is all done behind closed doors as well, Paul, so you or I wouldn't have to attend anywhere. An independent panel does look at your case. So we'll always advise you of a panel date when that does appear. And then we'll also advise you of the award that the panel then offer you as well.
The panel members, who are they?
For Scottish Government legalities, they've never disclosed their names to us.
Do they get disclosure Scotland? Do they get investigated themselves?
The panel members?
Yes.
In all honesty, Paul, I wouldn't want to give you an answer that's uncertain. I'm completely unsure, but what I do know of is that these panel members obviously are fully background checked, have nothing to do with any wrongdoing or any care system. These are Scottish Government workers that have been especially recruited to deal with these cases and sensitive cases. So from my knowledge and understanding and training, these panel members are individual citizens that have got experience within case handling and resolution sorting when it comes to dealing with these cases. So when it comes to the types of payments for yourself, Paul, there's two types of payments that we can go for. There's an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, and there's a fixed payment of £10,000. Now, the fixed payment of £10,000, what that is basically the fixed award, regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. The individually assessed payment, that's decided, as I said, by the closed independent panel, and they look at the abuse that you've suffered. They look at all the support and evidence that we can provide. The witness statement from yourself on how that's psychologically affected you, the kind of mental abuse that you've suffered, and so what I would like to do is put you forward for the individually assessed payment, as I feel like this case in itself is not worth standalone £10,000. Obviously, with the support and evidence, with the impact factors of what it's had on yourself, and even 40 years on, you're still sitting there or even driving there, thinking it's still wrong for that to happen. That's a 40-year effect that's had on you. So there's a lot of factors that come into it when you break it all down. I'm going to put you forward for the individually assessed payment, okay, Paul?
Okay, I mean, the thing is, well, Paul, as well, if it happened to me, there should be other children at the time, so I'll be interested. I obviously can't do data protection stuff, but if there is other children at the time who have been through that, what do you think of that? But who knows?
Yeah, no, there is, and there is obviously the severity of the cases that I deal with. Some have even said, like yourself, I don't feel like the what I've gone through, other people have gone through it, worse off than me, but any form of abuse is still abuse at the end of the day, and that's the way you've got to look at it. This scheme is out here to recognise the wrongdoing of what staff members and local authorities and institutions, what they've done to the children at the time. And you wouldn't go and get your kids or your grandkids or your younger brother or sister, you wouldn't go and pull them out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and interrogate them in a way. It's just completely out of the ordinary.
It's proper interrogation. When I overthink it, being if I'm in the forces, because I'm ex-forces now, but that is interrogation tactics.
Yeah, massively.
Sleep deprivation, light on, stand up in your underwear, shout at the person and keep abuse, keep shouting until they give you the answer.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
It's not, it's just not ideal at all, is it?
Interesting.
Torture.
Do you need the names of staff members at a time, or is that something you've already can get yourself?
That should be, hopefully, fingers crossed, listed within your social care records. But then again,
it won't be all staff, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's with this redress scheme, they don't hold the individuals accountable. What they hold is the local authorities and the institution accountable for the wrongdoing.
Not the
people itself, yeah, because obviously, unfortunately, yeah. You know, some people can pass away, you know, commit their own suicide to escape their guiltiness. So this scheme is solely based on the upper heads, shall we say.
Okay.
Paul, so just two more questions that I do need to ask yourself. Have you received any relevant payments in regards to the abuse that you've suffered from?
No.
You know, court award, the damages, anything like that?
None at all. This is the first I've ever talked about.
Okay, fair enough, Paul. And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
I got married. Thought that was criminal.
I love the honesty, Paul. I really do. I really do. But yeah, just to clarify, no criminal convictions.
None.
Yeah, no. Perfect.
Usual car stuff and nothing. No criminal, just car.
Yeah.
Speeding.
Yeah. No, of course we're all human. We all have we all want to get places fast. Myself.
No, you've got to beat the clock. It tells you you get in 10 hours. No, I'll do it at 9. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do it at 9. Or you'd have a bet with the missus. Watch me beat this now.
So driving down to Cambridge from Scotland, it's 7 hours driving. That'll be right. I'll do it in 6.
Is that what you're doing now? Yeah.
Yeah. I do Wi-Fi design now, so I travel quite a lot. So I was in Aberfeldy, middle of Scotland. I'm driving down to Cambridge now.
Oh wow! Fair enough. Hats off to you for the travel.
Well, I was in Sofia in south of France last week. I can't complain.
Yeah, I don't know. I caught you when you was out there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
was it hot there for you, was it?
Let's put it this way. I felt like a melting snowman.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine.
But 32 degrees in the southern France heat.
Yeah.
But I can't complain because it's all work. So we're actually heading to... the USA, Boston, Raleigh, San Jose, San Diego, then flying from San Francisco to Japan, Japan to Taiwan, Taiwan to South Korea, or all the way around, then to India, then back to the UK.
Oh, wow, that's it. That sounds like an amazing trip, though. Especially the west side of America as well. It's where, obviously, many earthquakes happen and all, San Diego and whatnot.
The whole world. Japan just had an earthquake, tsunami warning.
Another one. I haven't even seen that yet.
The job I do is quite good. The business I do is quite good. I brought my partner Tatiana into it, trained her up. She's now enjoying the travel.
Wow. Okay. That's
is it everyone's Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And as you know. You're getting to see the world whilst working, so fair enough. Hats off to you.
at their expense, which is even better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so fair enough. But Paul, yeah, that's everything that I've got from yourself. What I'm going to do is I will send you out the documents, obviously, for you to have a look over. Hopefully, you do obviously want us to represent you for this redress scheme. But the documents that I will send out to you is basically a client care letter, so it's a bit of a hi and welcome, and this is what we do for you. The conditional fee agreement, which breaks down our percentage of and fees of what we'll be taking, so it's 16% plus VAT, but that'll explain it all in that agreement for you. And then also the letter of authority as well, which gives us the right to act on your behalf. So it's a pretty straightforward e-sign document. So you'll receive a link via SMS. Click the link. It'll open up the document for you on the browser, and then you've probably signed many of these forms yourself. If you need any assistance or anything in doing so, You can always give me a call and I can assist you along the way. But other than that, Paul, yeah, I'll send out to you within the next 5 minutes and obviously, yeah, have a look at them in your own time. But yeah, as soon as I get them documents back, I can then that's when I can send it off to the Scottish Government to obtain the application number on your behalf.
Yeah, no worries.
Right, but before I let you go, any questions for me at all?
No, really. I mean, just if you guys get access to my records for the care home or the system, that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah,
the financial
no,
side of it is whatever it's going to be, but you know, the financials are 19% of whatever comes out of this, if it ever comes out at all. But if even if you get access to the records with no financial claim, whatever,
yeah,
that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, of course. Right, I'll pop a note on your case file, obviously, for that. So when it goes over my subject access request team, they'll be able to see that note and notify you of that.
Right, thank you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it, and drive safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Paul. Bye now.